Bron.
Now we're on. Okay, fine. So let's quickly reread the Gemara that we saw, and then take up the machlokas here, Rehuda and the Chachamim. Okay, so the Gemara had this discussion of whether you could extinguish the candle in your house to enable people, the husband and wife, to be intimate. And the Gemara had gone through all types of cases. What if you could go to another room? What if you could cover it? You could put a mechitza, etc. And the Gemara said, okay, it's aser, fine. Then the Gemara said, esve. So we were, whatever, like, I don't know, 60% down the page, esve. And chav beizim and alef. Ein mechavin et abikat, pidei lachus aleha. Ve'im b'shvil tshol yisash and abayis, ala kadei rab mutter. So you can't extinguish this glee, right? Rashi calls it an ishtila, which I don't know what that is in French, but okay.
It's always like a torch or something.
What?
It's not like a torch.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what it is. Some sort of, you know, lamp or something, just because you care about it. But if it's so that the house doesn't get smoky, or the pot doesn't get smoky, so then it's mutter. So amar lei. So if that's mutter, so why is it not mutter for intimacy? So amar lei. Ahi Rabbi Yehuda. Kikoim non el rabbanon. That is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and I passing the rabbanon. So that machlokas, what we'll see in a moment, is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only is ochel nefesh permitted on Yom Tov, but so is machshirei ochel nefesh, the things that lead up to ochel nefesh, the things that lead up to food. So Gemara is assuming that extinguishing a candle in order to enable intimacy is equivalent to machshirei ochel nefesh, because it's a step removed from that which is for physical benefit, as is the house not becoming all smoky. So according to Yehuda, both of those cases will be permitted. According to Chachamim, that will be prohibited. And then the Gemara brings a series of cases that go in that direction as well. So this we haven't seen yet. So the Gemara says, "Ba mina abaye mi rabba." Ma'al l'chaba says, "Hadleika bi yom tov." So are you allowed to put out a fire on Yom Tov? The Gemara says, "Heichadika sakana nefashos lo kami ba'ili." If there is danger to life, so obviously you can. Dafil b'Shabbos shari. Because even on Shabbos, it's permitted to put out a fire if there's sakana, which is why nowadays we are allowed to put out fires. We all live in close proximity, and any fire is extremely dangerous. Ki kami ba'ili, mishum ibad mamon. What I'm asking you is, if you're going to lose money, are you allowed to put out a fire? So my amar lei aser, you're not allowed to.
Just so, ask how much money.
Yeah, he just says money. Esvei. So he challenges the bain. Mechavis and mekaz kedei v'chalter olav. V'mishvel shalol yisashin abayis. So kedei ramutter. So the Gemara says, Ahi Rabbi Yehudahi. Ki kaim no'an ala rabbanan. So the Gemara here, interestingly, equates machshirei ochel nefesh with hefsed mamon, right, which isn't necessarily obvious. Right? Rabbi Yehuda has a more expansive position of ochel nefesh than the rabbanan, meaning he doesn't just allow you to cook, he allows you to prepare the pot, right? Make a pot if you need to. That's one level of expansion, meaning he admits that ochel nefesh is about food primarily, but even one level off from food, so that's fine. But here he's adding another element, that he clearly holds that ochel nefesh includes not just food and its expansions, but even other needs on Yom Tov, even right, secondary needs, like not wanting to lose money, which is not obvious, but that's the Gemara's assumption here.
So when we say we passed him like the, forget last week, like Rabbi Yehuda, who was one of the first Rishonim, he would pass him.
So that's what we're going to explore today. So we passed him like. So just to get all these down, but yeah, right? Let's just see all the cases Gemara equates here to the position of Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
Now, right, so far this isn't obvious, right? We've gone from Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, which is the original case, Machshirei Tashmish Amita, which is an expansion of itself of Ochel Nefesh, to Hefsed Mamon, which again the Gemara calls Machshirim. And then the Gemara gives you another case. Can you put a medicinal salve on the eye on Yom Tov? So Hechdika Sakana could go and read the Yatsa Dhamma Zim Asa Vikadachta Utchilas Uchla Lomi Boili. Dafilu Bishabashari. If there's Sakanas Nefashos, so obviously you're allowed to. And then the Gemara gives all types of examples of wonderful diseases. Right, so it's where different fluids are coming out or blood are coming out of the eye.
So that'd be the Sakanas Nefashos.
The problem is Sakanas Aver, the Gemara assumes, is a form of Sakanas. It wasn't especially the eye. Because the eye is always Sakana, right? So the Gemara is assuming it's like Sakana, Sakana. This is, right, a bigger discussion of you know, how do we treat it Bisman Hazem? Because, you know, I've heard different people say different things, partially because it's sort of true. The eye can have, you know, added dangers because of the proximity of the optic nerve to other parts of the brain. It is apparently more dangerous. So the Gemara says, okay, if it's sakana, so that obviously is mutter. Ki kami barely, sofu chlofetuche eina. Right, these the end. Rashi says shekarvlis rapos uveno chol agiab meoro. Right, it's already almost better. It's just you're making it a little bit better. Right, it's not that you're in danger anymore. You're just making it easier to see. So my amale oster. So eisvei and mechaben tabeka veshanele kedashaninan. Right, so they ask the same question. They answer the same answer. Okay, so we'll stop there for now. So what is this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that we are discussing? So the first time it appears is the Gemara in, or the more sort of most straightforward, shall we say, is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin, the Mishnah really, and the Gemara ensuing. So this is source 11. So the Mishnah says, "Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvad." There is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, and that is a problematic statement because that's not true. But okay, there is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos except for ochel nefesh, the fact that you're allowed to do malacha for food on Yom Tov, and you can on Shabbos. Now, there are a million other differences, and why the Gemara doesn't list them is a good question, right? For example, like big things, like if you violate Malacha on Shabbos, you're Chayv Misa. If you violate Malacha on Yom Tov, you're Chayv Malkus, right? Big differences, but okay. You need this one? Yeah. I gave you another one, but okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, fine. Hal inyan machshir ochel nefesh zev is shaven. Does that imply that only ochel nefesh is different, but machshir ochel nefesh, meaning the things that help you, enable you to have ochel nefesh, but aren't ochel nefesh itself, are Shabbos and Yom Tov are equivalent, meaning usur on both? Because then masnis and dlok Rabbi Yehuda, then our Mishnah would not be like Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya, because the Brisa tells us ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ochel nefesh, and Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshir ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda allows even machshiri ochel nefesh. So now the Gemara says, what's the reason? My time, the Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama say that on Yom Tov you're only allowed to cook, you're allowed to shech, you're allowed to do whatever you need for food, but you can't, let's say, sharpen the knife to shech? So Amar Kra, who? So he says, the pasuk says, who? Now what's the whole pasuk? It's not just who, right? It's achashiri ochel ochel nefesh, hu levado yiyose lochem. That which is done for ochel nefesh, that and that alone, right, will be allowed.
It's weird that they pick out who. Why did they pick out Levado? Seems much more. I'm sure they use it for something else.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I mean, who does sort of sound, you know, who? Levado. But Levado would do the same thing. Yeah, who Levado? Maybe it means who and who at Levado. You know, for things like that, you have to look at the Mesh Chachma. You have to look at, you know, the Nativ or any of the people who try to really figure out what Chazal are doing the drashas, but who or who levado both would point in that direction, but meaning only ochel nefesh itself and not the expansions, not the things that lead up to it. Rabbi Yehuda, Omar, or Amar Kra, lochem, which implies, lochem, lekol, tzorcheichem, you're allowed to do whatever you need. V'idoch nami, Haksiv lochem. So what did Rabbanan do with lochem? Right, lochem sounds like you can do whatever you need to do. So he says no, lochem lo lunachrim, lochem lo lekwavim. It means that even when whatever it is that you're allowed to do, you can only do for Jews, but not for non-Jews and not for animals. V'idochnami haksiv hu. So what did Rabbanan do with who? Ksiv hu uksiv lochem. So kan b'machshirin she'efshel atosan me'er of Yom Tov. Kan b'machshirin she'efshel atosan me'er of Yom Tov. So even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the only time you're allowed to, let's say, sharpen a knife is if you couldn't have done an Erev Yom Tov. If you could have, so even he will agree that the second order, Ochel Nefesh, things you can't do on Yom Tov. Now, what is the nature of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim? So, this, you know, is the question we keep coming back to. At first glance, the easiest way to explain the Machlokas is the way we've explained the, you know, Machloket and Ochel Nefesh in general, right? What is Ochel Nefesh? Is the Heter of Ochel Nefesh a local heter, that anything that I need for food, then that allows me to, right, I'm allowed to do that in Yom Tov? Or is it that any malacha which is, you know, related to food, automatically becomes a non-malacha on Yom Tov, right? The more you think that Ochel Nefesh wipes away malachos, the more you're allowed to do, the more you think that ochel nefesh just is a local matir, so then the less you're allowed to do. Of course, if you wanted to, you could flip it, right? You could say no, right? If ochel nefesh is that malachos, which are definitionally ochel nefesh, are mutter, so that is only the things which are ochel nefesh itself, right? Food, and therefore the Rabbanan might have a more expansive position about the food-related malachos themselves, because basically the way they'll imagine it is that, you know, you sat down with the 39 malachos, you picked out the 5 or 6 malachos that are directly food-related, those got eliminated, right? Those are not malachos on Yom Tov, but anything else is usur. And Rabbi Yehuda might say, no, we go not by malacha, we go by action. Is this necessary for food, yes or no? And if you're doing that, it's easier to justify sharpening a knife, because it may not be an ochel nefesh malacha, but it is, you know, related to ochel nefesh. So, while it's very, you know, it's always very nice to start with the same chakira as everything, the problem is, in this case, you could, as, you know, Reverzin Zweig does all the time, backflip the chakira, in which case, it probably doesn't, you know, you can't really tell what it depends on. But whatever it is, Rabbi Yehuda is more expansive in terms of what he allows, lachamim or less. Okay, now how do you paskin? So if you look at Beis Daf Ches, so this is the next time it appears. So the Mishnah says, the second Mishnah on Beis Daf Ches and Aleph says as follows. What? Chavches. On 12, I gave you the reference to it. So
the second Mishnah?
Yeah, there's a way I could, you know, save space, but this way also remember my train of thought. Ein mashchizin es hasa, it's the second Mishnah, right? There's a Mishnah that starts at the page, and then a Mishnah in the middle. Right? It's like a, yeah. Ein mashchizin es hasakin biyom tov, amal masiyo gabe chaver tov. You can't sharpen a knife on yom tov, but you can carry it on your friend, because then that's a shinoi. Okay, we're not going to talk about the second half, but the first half. So, sharpening a knife, that is classic, machshir yochel nefesh, right? Shchita is ochel nefesh, you're shechting the animal. Sharpening a knife is one step removed. So, amar avuna, lo shanu el b'mashchezah shel even, avon b'mashchezah shel eit mutter, this is only, it's only problematic with a stone sharpener, but a wood sharpener is fine. Because a wood sharpener doesn't make it perfect, a stone one is more perfect. So the wooden one is klachar yad. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hada Amar Shel Even Aser Lo Amran El Lechadida Aval Haver Sham Nusa Mutter. And even when we say it's Aser, that's only to sharpen it. But if you're using the stone to wipe off fat, that's fine. Michal Veshel Eitz Afil Lechadida Nami Mutter. Does that and that means that according to this position, sharpening the knife on wood would be mutter. Ikin masla seifa, and some say the other way, v'shal eitz mutter. And the Gemara goes on. Okay, now let's just skip down.
Why do they make this distinction between a wooden one and using
so because the stone one is the normal way of doing it, and the wood is not.
Oh,
it's glachar yad. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's shinui, it's glachar yad. So then if you skip down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the end of the page, the Gemara says, okay, however you understand this Gemara, Amar of Chizda, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. All of this is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, Tani, Ein Ben Yom Til, the Shabbos, Ochel Nefesh Bilvad, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Af Mashir, Machshir, Ochel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda says that you are allowed to do things which are a step removed from Ochel Nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to sharpen the knife, no problem. So Amar Le Rabba, Rabbi Chizda, Darshinan Mim Shimcha, Halacha Ki Rabbi Yehuda. Does that mean we can derive from you that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Right, because you're saying the Mishnah says you can't do it. I think you can do it. So Amar Lei Yehi Rava Dechol Kihane Milim Al Yosa Tidrishun Mishmai. That's a nice rabbinic poetry. Like, may it be the will of God that all such wonderful things shall be said in my name. Right? Yes, that is in fact exactly what I said. And please quote me. Quote me saying the halacha is like that. Amar of Nechemya, writer of Yosef, have a ke'imnek made the Rava. So Nechemya, the son of Yosef, said, I was by Rava, v'have kamaver l'sakina apuma didekula. And he was, in fact, you know, sharpening his knife. V'amri le l'chadada ka'avid mar l'haver shamnusa. And I asked him, are you sharpening it? Meaning, you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or are you wiping away the fat? V'amri le l'haver shamnusa. And he said, I'm wiping away the fat. V'chazite, but I looked. Dilidaite, dilachad the kafet. He wasn't wiping my fat, he was sharpening it. Uksavar halacha vein morin kain. And therefore, what I derived is that we paskin like Rabbi Huda, but halacha vein morin kain. You don't tell everybody that's the halacha.
Isn't the Puma the Dekula Shinui?
So that's what you would think, right? Or possibly, yes, right? There's somewhat of a Shinui. But the Gemara, at least...
It's still an eighth. It's a Puma.
Correct. But then the Gemara, clearly, the assumption here is that it's not enough of a Shinui, that this is evidence he possibly like Tribute does. So it's not like the wood before. I don't know why exactly this one's sharper. I don't know exactly why. But he says, therefore I realize... Two things. One is that we pasken like Rabbi Huda, and two, you're not allowed to tell anybody you pasken like Rabbi Huda. Right? We call halacha vein marin king. Right? This is like all the articles on the politics of Psak start here. Right? That the notion that there is such a thing called halacha vein marin king means that there's more to Psak than telling people what the halacha is. Because sometimes you acknowledge the halacha is like this, you don't tell people. Right? The way Rashi says it, halacha Rabbi Huda, umutter kol ish lasos. Everybody can do it. Avo and Marin Rabim. Theoretically, everyone can do, but won't tell anybody, right? The case. Shelo yizalzlu ha'vishef shel asos meod yom. Because what will happen is if we tell them that it's mutter, then they'll end up doing things on Yom Tov. They could have done erev Yom Tov. The kol hani shariyah kagonshin skalkul the Yom Tov. Oshay esmal tarik. I mean, look, come on. Shelo hit erev Yudel machshir shef shel asos meod Yom Tov. Because even Rabbi Yehuda only agrees you're allowed to do things on Yom Tov that only if you couldn't have done them before. Okay. Fine. So we have this notion that Rabbi Yehuda paskins, just to summarize where we are, so the Chachamim hold you are allowed to only do things which are Ochel Nefesh proper. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do Machirin, the one step removed, sharpening the lot in the knife for food, that's fine, that's one step removed. How do we paskin? The Gemara in Chavches seems to say Halacha Vein Morin Kein, that really we paskin Rabbi Yehuda, we don't tell anybody that. Okay, so now we come back to our Gemara. And now the question is, okay, well then, how do we paskin? Right? The Gemara in Chav Ches assumes we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. It's just that we don't tell anybody that. But what did our Gemara say? Our Gemara said, well, you aren't allowed to extinguish the candle for to engage in intimacy, but Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mutter. But that's Rabbi Yehuda, but we're talking like the Rabbanan. And you're not allowed to put out a candle to prevent monetary loss. That is only according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mutter, but we paskin like the Rabbanan, right? That seems to be the implication of the Gemara, that we paskin like the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yehuda. So how do you deal with the seeming contradiction between the Gemara on Chav Beis and the Gemara on Chav Ches, right? The Gemara on Chav Beis presents three halachot, which are only true according to Rabbi Yehuda, but we paskin like the Rabbanan, and the Gemara on Chav Ches says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't tell anybody that.
Well, maybe that's the way of not telling anybody.
Ah, so one possibility is to say, no, the Gemaras are exactly equivalent, right? We paskin Rabbi Yehuda, but you're not allowed to tell anybody that. And therefore, on Chav Beis, we don't tell anybody that, right? Really, 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 the halacha is that it's mutter, but you tell everybody that it's not mutter, or you just don't tell them that it is mutter, whatever. Whatever you think, right? Now, what if you're careful...
What is the status of a modern king, in terms of practical status? What does that mean?
Seemingly, it means that anybody who manages to learn the halacha himself will know it's mutter, and anyone who doesn't, when they come ask you, you evade the question, right? Or you don't tell them it's mutter, or you, I don't know if you actually tell them it's mutter, but you evade it. Right now, so one way is to say what Sam is doing, right? If you look carefully at Daf Chabed, did it ever say it was usher? He never said it was usher. He just said, that's only Rabbi Yehuda, it's not the Rabbanan. That sounds like we paskin like the Rabbanan, but doesn't actually say we paskin like the Rabbanan. It's evasive, right? Well, that's only Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, we happen to paskin Rabbi Yehuda, but don't tell anybody that. So one possibility is to say, yeah, that's exactly the conclusion. Now, who, therefore, is allowed to paskin like this? Presumably anybody who knows the halacha, right? You're not allowed to tell anybody else. If anyone asks you, why are you extinguishing the candle, you know, come up with a lie, right? And but go ahead and do it, right? It's fine.
Yes, but when you've got the Shulchan Aruch, you can't say things like that, can you? Or the Rambam?
I'd be interested to see what they say. So ironically, you totally can say it in Shulchan Aruch, because what people don't realize, because we live in such an educated generation, is that Shulchan Aruch was not meant to be read by the laity. Shulchan Aruch was meant to be... Well, that's not true. Shulchan Aruch was meant to somewhat meant to be read by the laity. The Beis Yosef was not, right? The Beis Yosef is meant to be read by rabbis, right? And therefore, you can put it in the Beis Yosef and then put it in Shulchan Aruch, and then, you know, that's easy. Right? It's very easy. but
knife, the shechita knife?
Here it sounds like it's not so much, right? I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine, right? Because you have to sharpen a shechita knife well, right? You can't, like, do it, right? It has to have no nick. So I assume this is, like, a food knife, or using it for food or something. You know, and I don't know, do you usually use your shechita knife, like, such that there's fat all over it? Like, I don't, you know, it sounds more like an eating knife, but maybe I'm wrong. But what Alan says is another, is the response of some of the Rishonim. We're going to see all this in Rishonim. But some of the Rishonim say, how can you say the Daf Chav Beis is just being, is Halacha Vein Morin Kein? Halacha Vein Morin Kein means if the layman comes to the rabbi should evade the question and pretend that it's Aser. But the Gemara is meant not for the average person asking the Shaila, it's meant for the, right, the person who's educated enough to open the Gemara. So in the Gemara, you don't hide the halacha. The Gemara, you tell people the halacha. That may not be true of Shulchan Aruch, but true of the Gemara, right?
We really anticipated art school.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, it's funny. The first, I don't know if you've ever seen the first volume of the first original version of Art School Brachot. It is excellent. The footnotes are thorough beyond belief. Like all the Rishonim, all the Achronim, like very, very, very well researched. And after that, the footnotes are, like, not so great.
Even through the Shas?
Like, after that, the rest of Shas. Like, they're not bad. They're just not that thorough. And that was apparently a policy. Because they got all these Haskamos, and they came out with the first volume with all these Haskamos, and then a lot of rabbis looked at it. Like, a lot of the Gedolim had given Haskamos, looked at it and said, you can't do this. We thought you were just elucidating the Gemara. You're giving everything away. You're making it too easy, right? We'll take away our Haskama if the rest of the volumes are this good.
The Hebrew one is much more.
The Hebrew is a little bit more thorough, and the Yerushalmi is like the old ones. I mean, the Yerushalmi is mind-bogglingly good. It's so good. It's so unbelievably amazing. And that's my official endorsement for the Art Scroll Yerushalmi. It is so good. They did everything. They did the Rishonim, the Achronim. They also did the Girsa work. They do manuscripts. They do everything. It was like, you know, there's a Torah Shabbal Peh class in the teacher's college in Gush, where Rav Bazak is and introduces it. The Yerushalmi was a closed book until the 21st century when Art Scrolls came out with the Yerushalmi. Like, it's really that good. Okay. So that's going to be part of the response. Now, how else could you deal with the stira? So one way of dealing with the stira is to say there's no stira, right? Meaning, yeah, the Gemara Chochet said halacha vein marin kein, and the Gemara Chabez never said we puffed in this way, just said it was evasive. So maybe it means the same thing. If you don't like that, so then you can say, okay, there is a stira. If there's a stira, you have two possibilities. You can either paskin like the Gemara Chochet and say, even though the Gemara Chochet sounds like we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't. We paskin like the Rabbanan, and we forbid Machira Chol Nefesh, or the other way, right? We paskin like Daf Ches, we paskin like Rehuda, and even though the Gemara Chav Beis sounds like you aren't allowed to put out the candle in order to permit intimacy, that's not how we paskin it is Mutter, right? Like Daf Ches.
Forgetting about that first case, the other three cases aren't Machira.
Ah.
Okay. The other three cases are things that most... It's not also nefesh, but the separate category of things that most people would want.
Correct. So the last possibility is what Howie says, is to say, no, there are middle positions. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't just permit machshir ochel nefesh, but Rabbi Yehuda basically has a more expansive notion of ochel nefesh in general. That means he allows machshir, but he also allows things which aren't food-related at all, like hefs and mamon. Maybe we agree with him on Machshir Ochel Nefesh, like sharpening your knife for food, but we disagree with all his expansions, right? Maybe, right, there are middle cases, which for Rabbi Yehuda is part of his expanded Ochel Nefesh, but for us, it's not, right? That's the middle option, is to say we have Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, right? We take him a certain extent. Rabbi Yehuda has a very expansive position. It says Ochel Nefesh includes basically anything which is at all necessary. We say we accept, right? We see you halfway. Right, we'll accept that you're allowed to be engaged in Ochel Nefesh and direct expansion of Ochel Nefesh. We don't accept that anything that makes you happier on Yom Tov is called Ochel Nefesh. Right, that's going to be the middle possibility, is to take that we take the two Gemaras together and we accept a modified Rabbi Yehuda. Alternatively, a modified Rabbanan. Right, those are two possibilities. Right, either a modified Rabbi Yehuda or a modified Rabbanan. Right, meaning, but those both come to the same point, meaning we modify those positions in one of two directions. Okay, so let's see that. That's the theoretical map, right? And we'll see that's exactly how the Rishonim map and the Achronim play it out. So if you look at the riff. Riff in number 13 says, Rabba v'chena meymar kulu dachula masnisen v'okar kari Yehuda. L'meymra delav hilchotahi. Right, our Gemara in Dachav Beis said, case after case, this is Rehuda, this is the Rabbanan, this is Rehuda, this is the Rabbanan, this is Rehuda, this is the Rabbanan, which implies we don't paskin like Rehuda. V'shaminan meha, v'lazel chazak yam masnisen. El osr l'chavaz abigaz, kadeh l'achos ola, b'en shal yizashen, habayez over there, akol osr. Which means that we don't paskin like Dachav Ches, we paskin against Rehuda. And machshir echol nefesh is osr, period. Right, the fact that the Gemara went through three cases, called the Machshir Ochel Nefesh, and said we don't paskin like that means we don't paskin like that. So that's all there is to it. Okay, the Balaam Or doesn't like it. The Balaam Or in 14 says, "Ika de kashalei hadamar of ches alach Rabbi Yehuda." What are you talking about? We said in Dach of Ches that alach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Vaisa kushezu chamura ben echam mechach meador. So he said there was one chacham who really was so bothered by this question, meaning the Rith. Below. Some elibo maskana dishmaito da sikna hasam alacha vein morin kain, and therefore he rejected chav ches in favor of chav beis. Vanu tmeina la rifzal shekasev hakol velo beres varav. I don't know what he's talking about.
He really did not like the
rif. Yeah, whatever. He's like, I don't get it. He said it's a gemara mifureshet. It's a gemara mifureshet. I don't know what you're talking about.
He was a millennial.
Yeah.
He was 17 when he wrote his book. Like, he was, you know. Yeah, and he was a firebrand. Yeah.
They know everything.
What?
Millennials, they know
exactly.
Everything.
Right? Wonderful. Gotta love the Baltimore. Rabbi Zerachya Halevi and his brother Rabbi Prachya Halevi.
Right. And all the Horowitz and Sintz.
What?
And all the Horowitz and Sintz are all descended from him. Same personality.
Are they descended from him? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Horowitz, yeah, they're all ladies. I'm guessing they're all ladies. Exactly. Lady, and they're all, that's what they're all.
Yeah, he's great. There you go.
Is she a best lady?
Horowitz in general is a Levy name, yeah.
Yeah, they come from the town of Horowitz, but basically it was in Czechoslovakia. Really,
yeah, I know a lot of Levim or Horowitz. Okay, but anyway, so the Rif just says, yeah, we pass like Dafka Bez over Chavchet, we don't pass like Behuda, that's it. And the Balmor says, I don't know what you're talking about, we pass like Chavchet over Chavchet. Like, right? It's just not true. The Ramban and the Milchamot says, whoa. Lo beira veinu, right? The Ramban, again, remember the Ramban doesn't necessarily pass on the Rif, he just doesn't like the Balaam Or very much. And so he wrote his whole book, and he says, it's not that I always agree with the Rif, it's so that I will always defend him against the Balaam Or. That's the point of the book.
And the Miri didn't like the Ramban.
I don't know, they all had, you know, but as Rav Lechonzin once said, right, in most of these cases, you assume that it's not personal, right, except for the Ravid and the Balaam Or. Where it clearly was, right? Where it clearly was.
I don't know. I think the Miri called Ramban's Talmidim a bunch of fools.
Yeah. Well, the problem was the problem with the Rif and the Balaam Or was it really was personal. Like they both wanted to marry the same girl, and the Rif had married her. So it was like a really like it was just not a rabbinic history there, you know, because they both wanted to marry the daughter of the other Rif, the Rif Bal Heshkol, and the Rif did, and you know. That, you know, and that's why the Ravid and the Balaam Or really don't get along. I mean, the Ravid just writes about the Balaam Or, you know, he's a basket full of lies, you know, like that's his, you know, Salah, Malesh, Karim, Uchzavim, you know. Yeah, okay, anyways. So the Mochamos says, Lo Beir Rabbeinu HaGadol Zal HaDvarim. Said, the Balaam Or said that the Rif didn't explain himself. You're right, he didn't. Abo Tafas Lo Derech HaGemara. He just read the Gemara. You're right, he didn't explain himself. He was right. He just read the Gemara. He doesn't need to explain himself. Sharei Abaye Rava Asru Legamre. Could Abaye and Rava clearly said it was Asr. The Elohei Amutr El Shein Morin came. Right? If it was what the Balaam Or wanted to say. Namely, right, the Balaam Or says, it must be the Daf Chabet means the same as Chavchet. Meaning that when they say it's Asr, they don't mean it's Asr. They mean it's Halacha Vein Morin came. Right? Right, so again, right, so the Rif just rejects Chavbet in favor of, Chavchet in favor of Chavbet. The Balaam Or interprets Chavbet in light of Chavchet. But the Ramban says that can't be. Look at what our Gemara said. What are you talking about? They said it was Asr. V'ilo ayam mutter l'shein morin kain. Havalu l'meimar mutter v'en morin kain. And if what you meant was it's halacha v'en morin kain, say that. D'ha'olav b'pirko have. This is not a public shir. V'lav ba'afei ama'aretz have. Right? We're not talking to Amaratzim. It's not, you don't have to, right? This is not the time to hide. The time to hide is when you're giving a public share. Don't tell everybody what you mean. But when you're talking to the people who are smart enough to read Gemara, say what you mean. Elamezer Asri Legamre. If they said it was Asr, it was Asr. V'chein Mashchaz Asakin. And similarly, sharpening on life. No one practically is going to say it's mutter unless it's a shinui. But on the other hand, there were certain machshirin that we found that you were matir straight up, right? Like I'm clearing out the oven on Yom Tov. The ilu asigios matshichos lomar. So now the Ramban says what Howie said. So therefore, sha'afalpi, what you have to say is the following. Sha'afalpi sh'nivska aloch k'rabi Yehuda. Even though we paskin like k'rabi Yehuda, that's what we saw in Chavchet. Lo samcho le legamre. We don't fully rely on him. Ela sh'be'osen hadvarim shem ikr machshirei gufa ochel. Things that are directly related to food, right? I mean, they're machshirei and they're a step removed, but they're still about food in a direct fashion. Like, kugon grifas ha'tanur, cleaning out the oven so that you can then cook food. Hetiru legamrei, b'makom d'lo efshar. So then, they allowed it, lechatchila, right? Not even halacha vein morgen, they just matered it, shelo yachroch. Because you don't want food to burn, you don't want, right? You want the oven to function well. Shema ta machmer lav, lefinim mishiras ha'din, because if you're going to be too machmer, atamona legamrei, b'simchaz yom tov. You're going to prevent people from enjoying yom tov. Udvarim she'enem ikar ochol nefesh, with things which aren't actual food, they're just necessary. Kigon kibui habikat, like putting out this, you know, lamp, this whatever, this, you know, torch, whatever. So he's ashrin habayis, so the house doesn't become smoky. B'makom shetarach lechol sham, where you need to eat there. O kibui hadleika mishum ibud kli tashmisho, you want to put out a fire to not destroy the vessel you're using to eat. She'ochol b'hem asurin legamrei. That's fully asur. Bein lahoros, bein lasos. Not just that it's halacha bein morgan, it's actually asur. And then last ben ma'isa biyichud v'kolshigin l'chabos zanerim neidavar acher, and for sure putting out a candle for intimacy. Afal pisha tashmir tzorech kol nefesh. Even though intimacy is in fact tzorech kol nefesh, right? It's something that every person benefits from. V'roy lahatir bo malacha, and therefore you should permit malacha, like we see in ksubos, k'disa b'ksubos, machshir and asurin. Still, tashmir shamita is itself an expansion of ochol nefesh. So to permit putting out the candle for intimacy is a double expansion. It's an expansion on an expansion of ochol nefesh. So Rabbi Yehuda allows it. We don't. Haladivrei Rabbi Yehuda kol shu davar hadocher yom tov af machshir and mutarinein. V'chein hakocha v'ayin machshir and shalnos aguf amuter v'yom tov rishon hu. Rabbi Yehuda d'amar lochem kol zarechecha mutar. Rabbi Yehuda himself is extremely expansive. He allows one level removed from ochol nefesh, two levels removed from ochol nefesh. Anything that is necessary for bodily enjoyment on yom tov is mutar. One step removed, two step removed, I don't care. Because he says, lochem, likol tzorcheichem. He says, look at the words. But Yehuda thinks everything you need is mutter. That's why he's so expensive. V'lo nemer al divrei Yehuda v'etiru b'sheni laso siyag, k'etiru shal Yehuda, u'dvarim she'machshir ochol nefesh, ela she'en tzrichen kol kach, yon tzagen she'omdav, she'efshar b'shela, she'er mitzuin lakol, v'holach v'hem etzol sakar sakar z'vehem, mutzal yidei shinui. And then he said, certain things which are in between, like, a knife. You need a knife to shecht, but you don't necessarily need to violate Yom Tov. You need to carry it. So if you can't carry the right knife, do it with a shinui, right? You know, put it on your animal and walk your animal, or, you know, put it on your friend's, you know, head or something, because it's a shinui. So it's possible to get the accomplishment by only violating Derabanan. So then, l'sharin le binyan acher, we make you do a shinui, l'sharin morin, but we don't tell you that l'chadchila, mishum d'shriche, because it's common, l'otim l'nubis, v'chaz yom tov, zeh udashra min ha'gadol zal, chen dashra min ha'nana, ufich darshan b'chal ha'lach rabi yudim machshirin, b'fratim machalkim n'makol ufim ha'shu inyan. Right, so the Ramban says, the answer is that there's different madregas. Rabbi Yehuda himself permits anything you need on yom tov that is anyway related to bodily benefit. Food, not food, doesn't matter. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda allows putting out the candle for intimacy. He allows you to put out a candle if you're going to be upset because you're going to lose money. Right? Rabbi Yehuda himself says, Lochem, the coals are chayim, everything's mutter. We don't go that far. We accept a modified Rabbi Yehuda, namely, if it's a machshir ochel nefesh, which is directly related to food, like you need to fix, you know, you need to clear out the oven so that it functions well, we paskin Rabbi Yehuda, v'morin kein. Carrying a knife, since you can do it through a shinui, so halacha vein morin kein, right? You're allowed to do it. We agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't tell you to do it. And then things like putting out a candle for intimacy, which is two steps removed from ochel nefesh, well, Rabbi Yehuda allows it. We don't, right? And not just ein morin kein. We actually think it's aser mekar adin, right? So the reason chav bet and chav chet are not identical is because yes, Rabbi Yehuda is all the way at one extreme. We're not. Right? It's not like the Rabban and Aser everything and Rehuda Matzer's everything. Those are the extremes. But the halacha of the Gemara is in the middle. Right? That we balance, we're somewhere in between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So while the Gemara in Megillah had said, you know, and this comes back to Sam's point before, right? What do you do with all these words in the Gemara, right? The Gemara is going back and forth on all the drashot. So the Gemara makes it clear that the Rabbanan reject all of Rabbi Yehuda's drashos and Rabbi Yehuda rejects all of the Rabbanan's drashos. The halacha psuka, according to the Ramban, is that we compromise between the drashos, right? And we sort of paskin like the Ramban, and we sort of paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Meaning there's really a third shita here, right? It's not Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, it's Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim or the Gemara's position, which is a compromise, and that's why Chav Bet doesn't look like Chav Chet. Because Chav Chet is talking about food. So in food, we either paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Lechatchila or halacha vein morin kein. By non-food, right, we paskin the Chumrah.
What's
right?
The halacha on Yontif for a brit milah regarding the machshirei brit milah?
On Yom Tov?
On Yom Tov.
I think it is, unless you're following Rabbi Yehuda.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't remember. I have to look it up. I have to look up a wee paskin on that. I'll look it up. I have to check it out.
Well, I've seen the brit milah is
no, but it's a mitzvah, and mitzvah might be similar to Ochel Nefesh in that respect. I have to check it out. Okay. Now, if you look, skip from...
It's not a mitzvah, Shavu L'Kol.
Correct, but mitzvahs might be Shavu L'Kol in a certain sense, you know, fundamentally. Okay, so if you look at... Skip to the Meiri for a moment. In 17, and the Pnei Yeshua, they both go in this direction as well, in slightly different ways, but they all take compromise positions within Rabbi Yehuda. Or really within our psak, right? So the Miri says, Mikom bakom kavas and nir mivnei dover acher oes abikas kadesh lo lashin es abayis. So kavas at leka b'diavad pater. Shem alocha chin atzicha l'gufa hi. Shem atomar hechon tzir l'machshir ochal nefesh. He says, first of all, even if you do put it out, we should just be clear that it's not a daraisa, because it's malocha chin atzicha l'gufa, right? Not because it's mutter, because of machshir ochal nefesh, because it's ain't atzicha l'gufa, right? Because you're not putting out the candle because you need to create, charcoal, you're doing it because you want to be in your house, right? And you don't want it to be all smoked up. Okay, fine. But now he says, after the ellipsis, Yesh lafaresh, shlo nemar kein elav machshirin, sheyesh bem tzorech ochel nefesh, k'tzas, letikona ochel. Maybe, when do we paskin that you're allowed to do machshirin? When it somewhat relates to food, per se. Av machshirin she'ein tzorech la ochel klal, but things which are removed from food, elishu tzorech lo shlo kalklo, ain't a mutter, but things that you need to not, you know, destroy your pot, that's not mutter. The afal pi shehuter hakivoy bisra agumre. Even though we allow you to barbecue on Yom Tov, even though the fat is going to drip off and extinguish the flame, ain't zeklum. The bisra agumre le gachalim lochoshos ein tzricha anu tzricha hakivoy lakrochenu huba. Right there, we want the fire. The kivoy is just a necessary side effect. That's fine. Aval kivoy biyodayim, but extinguishing things actively lo la muhuter. You can't do that ever. Hov ein gufa kivoy machshir. Because kibui is never needed for food. It's so that it won't ruin the food. So if you're putting out the candle for the food itself, right, so the food doesn't itself get smoky, so then it's mutter. But this is only if you can't clear it to another place. If you have another place to go, so then don't put it out. And that's what the Yerushalmi says. Right? Hashkol Sakin Ushadarsha Rava Bashem Khisav Mkomo Yizbar Bes Hashem. Right? So Meiri already adds a few points, but he also points in this direction that we passing the Laker Yehuda, but only on Ochel Nefesh Mamish. All the other things we don't, unless they're necessary. Right? So when the Gemara says that you can't put out a candle to make things because it's to prevent the house from getting smoky, that's only the house from getting smoky. If it's going to make your food smoky, so then it's mutter. Right? I mean, we take middle positions. Right? Anything which is close enough to the food, we do paskin Rabbi Yehuda.
Didn't Rabbanan Asher when it came to Ishun for the Kedera?
Right. So we're gonna come back to that specific point in a moment.
He seems to be saying that by Ishun the Kedera, the Rabbanan would agree with Rabbi Yehuda because it's so close to food.
It's not the Kedera. By the Kedera, we mean the pot, not the food, but the pot.
We mean the
He says the Tafshil, we allow you to. The pot, we don't. But we're going to come back to that point in a minute. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua, Pnei Yeshua says, came at the time of the Rehuda the Machir, b'machshir, and hainu mishum the darash lachem l'kol tzorcheichem, im kein savar ashas, teheichad ikot ibon momon ocholah, shein vasakona, namu yelakolacham l'kol tzorcheichem, right? It's like the Ramban. Since Rabbi Yehuda permitted machshirin, because of his drasha lochem l'kol tzorcheichem, you're allowed to do anything, that's why the Gemara assumed that Rabbi Yehuda is so expansive. Afal gav she'enam e'inyan ha-machshirin, even though it's not really a machshir, right, the point for, right, this is really what the Ramban is getting at, but he doesn't say it that clearly. What the Pnei Yeshua points out is that Rabbi Yehuda's drasha isn't about machshirin. Rabbi Yehuda's drasha is lachem l'kol tzorcheichem. Machshirin is just a function of lachem l'kol tzorcheichem. But really, maybe the halacha is we paskin that machshirei ochel nefesh is mutter, not because it's lachem kol tzorcheichem, but because it's a derivative of ochel nefesh. And therefore, the reason Rabbi Yehuda is so expansive is because he's not really saying machshir ochel nefesh is mutter. He's saying all tzorcheichem is mutter. We take a compromise position. Namely, we don't say all tzorcheichem is mutter. We do say machshir ochel nefesh is mutter. So therefore, he said, mikol makom shkulem heim dehai minayu mafkes of a hal pashat le'rabba shapir da'asir. That we don't paskin like that. We say it's asir. Da'afagav de'machshir en gufa kaimel on Rabbi Yehuda. Even though regarding machshirin itself, we do agree like Rabbi Yehuda, haynu mishum simchas yom tov, samchin Rabbi Yehuda, because then that is actual simchas yom tov. So we paskin Rabbi Yehuda. Mashayin kein heicha deleka simchas yom tov esher dalcha rabbanan. But when it's not directly simcha, so we paskin like the rabbanan. But again, right? The Ramban in his own way, the Pnei Yeshua in his own way say, I like the Pnei Yeshua's formulation, right? Maybe even better than the Ramban's formulation, which is that yeah. The reason of Yehuda is so expansive is because he doesn't think we're limited to Ochel Nefesh at all. He just thinks that on Yom Tov, everything which is Sorech Adam is Mutter. That's why he allows Machshir, and that's why he allows things for Tashim and Mita. That's why he allows Hefzad Mamon. That's why he allows everything.
Because of Simcha?
What? No, because he holds Lochem L'Kol Tzorcheichem. We accept half of Rabbi Yehuda, namely, that Ochel Nefesh isn't just cooking, it's also doing anything you need in order to cook.
Right.
But we don't go as far as him because we don't have the drasha Lochem L'Kol Tzorcheichem. Right, we accept Machir Ochel Nefesh because it's an expanded Ochel Nefesh rather than a totally new category called whatever you want. Right? And that's why we come with a compromise. Right, and that's the Gemara on Chavet. Right, on Chavet, right, where Tashmer Shamita, which is not actual Ochel Nefesh, right? Well, right, he's sort of playing, you know, fast and loose with those terms, right? Because you could have said, right, you could have said, well, no, simcha is...
That's why I was wondering.
No, in a chanami. But I think what he means is food, right? Because,
That's what I'm wondering.
Now, right, if you want an extreme version of this, right, the look at the Rishon LeZion in 20, the Rishon LeZion goes farther and says, no, we really are very close to Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda would say that Lichad chila, you want to engage in intimacy and there's a candle on, so just put it out. Now, we asked the question last week, okay, but what happens if you have no choice? Right? The Gemara says, go to another room, go to another, fine. What happens if there's no choice? Right? You have a candle which is going to be, you know, not just like a candle is going to go out in 2 hours. A candle is going to be going for 24 hours. And if you don't put out the candle, so you're not going to be able to engage in intimacy, right? Assuming that's the conclusion of the Gemara. So if you think we fundamentally don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, then the conclusion should be, you aren't allowed to do it. But look at the Rishon LeZion. He says, Avlenu Chanami. Ilo after Bechabinayu could go into Lesla, Yechabaner. Meh. I don't think that's the conclusion of the Gemara at all. The conclusion of the Gemara is, if you have a choice, so don't turn out the candle. But if you really, 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 really don't have a choice, so then put it out. And we passing Rabbi Yehuda, we're just not as trigger happy as Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda will say, your first line of defense is put out the candle. We'll say, you know.
But they conclude in Gemara,
correct. So what you'll have to say is something like, I don't know, if it's going to go for 3 hours, so just wait 3 hours, right? You can't put it out. But if it's a candle, it's going to go for 24 hours, you have no choice, there's no option, so then put it out, right? I mean, you'll just reinterpret the Gemara. You'll say, the Gemara is telling you, Rabbi Yehuda would say, put it out now, right? We would say, okay, if you have any option, so don't put it out. But if you don't have an option, so put it out, right? There's different places on the spectrum you can say.
So if you have a dull knife and you don't have a...
Again, where you draw the line, I don't know. Right, but you see the Rishon LeZion also in his own way, the Pnei Yeshua, the Ramban, the Me'iri, they're all basically saying the way to deal with Chav Ben Chav Ched is to say that while Rabbi Yehuda is at one extreme and it matters everything, the Rabbanan seem to be the other extreme, right, possibly. Either we paskin something in the middle or even the Rabbanan paskin something in the middle, right? Now, the Me'iri, Pnei Yeshua, Ramban all seem to say that the Rabbanan themselves may not agree with that, right? But the Gemara does, right? There's the Rabbanan who say Aser everything except for Ochel Nefesh itself, and the Gemara is representing a third view. The Rajban 16 says maybe it's not a third view. Maybe that's what the Rabbanan meant the whole time, right? Maybe it's not that there's the Rabbanan on one hand, Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand, and we Paskin in the middle. Maybe the Rabbanan himself are in the middle, right? So he says in so 16 in Bishvil Shel Yitashen Abayis Ogedera Mutter. Yesh mefarshin b'shvil shelo yitashin abayis. So yashker akotel. Some people say, what does this mean? That the house won't get smoky, meaning that the house won't get dirty, right? That the walls won't get all black. V'chein b'kedera atzma shein kanser achol yom tov. And when we say the kedera, we mean that the pot itself, right, shouldn't get black. Avol b'shvil shelo yitashin abayis. Shu yoshev bo. But if it's not the house, like the physical house, that is going to get smoky, but it's going to be full of smoke and you can't eat in your house because it's, you know, uncomfortable, so then it's mutter, right? Meaning you're putting out the candle not just to prevent your walls from getting dirty, but so that you can eat now on Yom Tov. And you're not going to be able to eat. That's Ochel Nefesh. There even the Rabbanan agree. V'teidlachal, prove it to you. Midibay minei abayim e rabba mal lechabas es adleka biyom tev heka diikha sakanas nefashad lo tibaylach ki dibaylach mishum ibon mamon. Because what did the Gemara say? The Gemara's extremes were sakanas nefashos, mutter. Monetary loss, usher. So the Rajva says, what do you mean? Isn't there something in between? What about not ibon mamon, not sakanas nefashos, what about for ochel nefesh? Is it mutter or usher? So he says, "Da'alma, da'fil eichad leleka eli ben mamon bilvad, leleka mishum simchas yom tov." Rabbi Yehuda allows it even when it's just monetary loss and no simchas yom tov. The cave and shigain ikel meimar debahodu bligi rabbanon later Rabbi Yehuda. And but if that's the point, Rabbi Yehuda is so extreme, he doesn't even need food-related things. He allows you to do whatever you need. Hakadesh lo zashen abayishen yoshin bol lizbadal misudasan. If you're in a middle, if it were a middle case, meaning you're putting out the fire to allow you to eat in your house. Because that's the whole point. Is that the Rabbanan hold Ochel Nefesh. So it's not just, it's not that there's a middle position. The Rabbanan themselves will sometimes agree that things which are not directly food-related are essentially food-related. So if the fire is preventing you from eating in your house, then you're allowed. So, again, so what you have is the Rif, who totally rejects Rabbi Yehuda in light of Chavbet, the Balamor, who says Chavbet is the same as Chavchet, the Melchamos, Me'iri, Pnei Yeshua, and the Rishon LeZion who say there's a third position in our Gemara, Rabbanan at one extreme, Rabbi Yehuda at the other extreme, and then a middle position where we half accept Rabbi Yehuda, and then the Rajba saying no, maybe the middle position is the position of the Rabbanan. Right, the Rabbanan themselves allow certain expansions. It's just that the Gemara on Chavbet is talking extremes. Right, extremes the Rabbanan don't accept, but the our middle position the Rabbanan himself would accept.
But the other extreme of the Sakana is the extreme.
Well, that everyone agrees. That's a total extreme that everyone's
right. So why would they give that as the other extreme?
To sketch out the poles. I mean, that's what it, right, and it doesn't and it, right. So I mean, basically, what everyone else says is the Gemara is sketching out the poles, but the Gemara itself is taking a middle position. The Rajba said, no, the Rabbanan themselves are the middle position. The Gemara is just...
But if you're sketching out the pole of Sakana, it means someone's holding that that's the only time that you could do it.
Right, so you could read it the way, and the Rashba is not, right? The Rashba is saying, no, that's, you know, the Rashba is saying that's just clearly, you know, I don't know, it's a didactic tool. I'm not really sure. So that's his position. But he notes that Rashi doesn't take this. Well, Rashi's on the Shumafar Shabihuda Dafka Vishamis Ashin Habaishu Yoshivbo Amra. He says, no. The Rashi thinks that even when you're sitting in your house and it's getting smoky, only Rabbi Huda will allow you to extinguish that flame. Even if the question is the food itself being ruined, only Rabbi Huda allows that, because kibui is always usur, because it's not ochel nefesh related. Even if it is ochel nefesh related, it's halachically not. Sorry, according to this, the Chachamim are only arguing on the bayit case, but the pot case itself, they will agree. The Yeshim Mefarshim Bishvil Solishashin Akedera Atma Filachi Sharla Rehuda Shud Sarachal Vashal Bav Eledumi Sholashin Abayas Shud Sarachal Echal Pisocho. And maybe Rehuda allows even the pot, I mean not the food in the pot, but the pot itself, and Rehuda allows that. Maybe the Chachamim don't agree to that. Okay. If you look at 19, you look at the Shitim Mikubetzes, he quotes the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah also takes a middle position. He says, going on the case of the Lichol Ta'ayin, he says, Eiz Ve'en Mechavin is a Bikaz V'chulei. Peirz Rashi is also Mutzal Obanas Aguf Kedei Sholit Ashen V'chulei. V'im Tomer Ma'inyan Zei Tzol Zeh Dohotzim Shayin Levi She'enu Nenem Beguf Shal Kibu Yival Ka'an Nenem Gufo B'kichol Ve'enam Irim Bareze Kiro Chetz Raglav B'chamim V'davar Shavu Chol Nefesh. So I don't even understand why the Gemara equates these three cases. Because even though none of them are direct Ochel Nefesh, when you're making your eye feel better, that's no worse than, you know, warming up hot water to wash your hands, which we say is mutter according to everybody, right? As opposed to the case of the smoke in your house, which is a step removed. So Teiretz HaRa'ah, the kanami ein ha'nalo legufo shel kila. It must be that the Gemara is assuming that the way we understand the case of putting the salve on your eye is not directly hana'ah. It prevents your eye from getting bad or from being uncomfortable. And that's really the question of the Gemara, is the Rabbanan only allow you to do things which are active ochel nefesh. Yehuda even allows you to do things which remove things which prevent you from having ochel nefesh. Right? And that's the way he draws the distinction, right? Active benefit versus removing things which inhibit benefit. Right, which, you know, is one of those hair-splitting rabbinic moments. But that's right. That's how he takes it. And he says, "V'teida sharei betucheina kvar nisrapi kiracholi mashenisher me'elav ha'yisrapi el she'osik in lagia oro k'desh yirav yisav alechol gain hechsher lochol nef." And he says, "What must it be? That really your eye is getting better. Why are you putting the salve on it? So you'll be able to see the food and enjoy the food more. Because we all know if you can see the presentation of the food, it tastes better. Right? That's the whole point. Right? Is that." They're arguing, okay, whatever. The point is, the Ra'ah is also trying to carve out a middle position, right? We're saying, the point is, the things that are mutter are direct ochel nefesh, right? Rabbana, what we don't allow for Behuda, at least, is things which are not direct ochel nefesh, but are inhibitors of enhanced ochel nefesh.
What about cleaning out the stove?
So that, I assume, if he follows, you know, the base measure of the Ramban, you might say that's mutter. Right, but what he's saying is that at least their machlokas is the middle case, right? The,
yeah, but isn't that preventing a?
It sounds like right. So it sounds like that. I mean, he may not agree with that. I don't know, right? We don't, you know.
Before everybody holds its mutter to be.
Right. So he might disagree, or he might say no. That's the food itself. This is a step removed from the food. You know, it's always hard to draw the line, but you could say that, right? Meaning seeing the food is clearly not as direct with the food as, you know, baking it, cooking it. I don't know. Okay, now there is a position though that comes up, is that this is the position of the Ra'ah as well, that this is only true by Yom Tov Rishon, but on Yom Tov Sheni, all the things which the Gemara had said is Aser are all Mutar on Yom Tov Sheni, right? Putting out the candle for Tashmir Shemitah, putting the salve on the eye, all those things are only by Yom Tov Rishon, but Yom Tov Sheni, right? So that's another way of compromising, right? So far we've seen the Milchamos, Bnei Yeshua, Rishon Lezion, compromising and saying the Gemara takes a middle position. You have the Rashba who says that to a certain extent, at least, the Rabbanan themselves take a middle position, right? And now you have the Ra'ah with two middle positions. One is maybe the only time we disagree with Rabbi Yehuda where it's not ochel nefesh, it's the prevention of the inhibiting of ochel nefesh. But then he adds a second one, which is maybe, even when we say we don't pass on Rabbi Yehuda, we only mean that on Yom Tov Rishon, but on Yom Tov Sheni, we do accept Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's like, you know, a nice little compromise of saying, yeah, we sort of accept Rabbi Yehuda enough to do it on a day where it's only the Rabbanan, right? That's like the, you know, that's like... That's, well, yeah, exactly. It's gebrach on the eighth day of Pesach, exactly. It's, you know, bidyuk. Okay, so I think we're going to stop there. What's next, if you see, is just psak. I mean, that's all the theoretical work, and then the psak issue is from 21 on. Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura. I just had, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura, and then the two shilas I put here, practical shilas I put, were whether you're allowed to turn down the gas while you're cooking the food, or do you have to move it to another, right, light a new low flame, right? Is that kibui, l'tzorech ochel nefesh or not? That's a machlokas achronim, based on a machlokas rishonim, obviously, but that's what I put here. And the second one was the position I mentioned last week of the tzitz eliezer, which is what if you left the light on Yom Tov and you can't sleep, are you allowed to turn out the light?
Second day,
right, according to the Rav. No, but you'll see that actually comes up in Sock. It doesn't become rejected. There's actually people who accept that position. It's not like it doesn't appear again. Okay, so we'll see the Halacha L'maisa next week. I think what will probably happen is we'll have enough time to get through Halacha L'maisa. I'll bring in an actual copy of the Tzitzel Yezer if you want to see it inside, and then we'll have to just read, you know, we'll have to continue in the Gemara, which will probably take us the rest of the time. Okay.
Almost saying like a divine cut
Well, Dera Bunnan will possibly like it. Yeah. You never know what it means when you say you can do something on the Yom Tov Sheni. Okay.